Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.
All right, we're about to go around the NFL here in the loop. I wanted to circle back around real quick to a question of the day where we were asking what is the resounding memory that you will take with you from the Astros run, if indeed it is done. We'll see how that looks over the last four games and, you know, obviously moving forward for your Astros. Something that was texted in that that caught my attention from the 832. I liked being the unstoppable villain in MLB.
It's a good one.
I feel like baseball needed us, especially when we turned heel.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess like that, it was one of those things that you kind of was a position that you got put into as an Astros fan, is if you want to support your team in the midst of that, you kind of needed to embrace it.
Yeah.
I hadn't really considered how many people were just like, no, I actually like this place and I feel like it suits us in the ecosystem of baseball.
I think it transitioned. At first, everybody was like, no, everybody does it. We didn't cheat. What about the Yankees? What about the Reds? It turned from what aboutism real quickly within a matter of weeks, maybe a couple of months, to, all right, bring it.
What you gonna do about it?
Yeah, it's crazy too, because I felt like Altuve was that lovable guy, won the MVP, mm-hmm. small guy, and then once the cheating stuff happened, yeah. almost cussed. Once the cheating stuff happened, then it's like a bunch of Yankees fans, Dodgers fans, yeah. they come all from over, because Yankees fans was pissed because he potentially took a MVP from Aaron Judge,
mm-hmm.
and then you got the Dodgers fans because they beat you.
Yeah.
So it was.
But then it turned H-Town against all y'all.
Yeah. No, you know? It was so cool to the point. Yeah. I wore an Astros shirt up in Cleveland when I went back home. Yeah. And everybody's kind of looking at me crazy. I'm just like, bring it, then.
Bring
What's
it,
up?
Man. Let's go.
What's up? Take it back, then.
That's right.
And of course, what's benefited you is that the Astros were damn good, because if mm-hmm. they weren't, like that stance does not get to be nearly as fun.
And about from 2019 to 22. People freaking hated the Astros.
And what did they have to deal
like,
with?
They hated.
Yeah, they just had to hold
even
that.
Up in Minnesota.
They hated them.
Yeah.
Somebody said, love them or hate them, always remember the 26 curveballs in a row from Lance. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then from the 281. Again, Fromber's going tonight. Best case scenario tonight would be for Fromber to retire, take off his wig, and leave it on the
Take off his wig.
Leave it on the mound.
Leave yeah. it on the mound, they said. Just go ahead and walk away with the extensions. With them locks on the ground. All right. We go around the NFL now here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. We got Thursday Night Football tonight.
It's
going to be Seahawks at Cardinals, a little NFC West matchup of teams that are kind of so interesting.
Little scouting, maybe?
That's also possible because, after week five, when you get the Ravens and then bye week, the Seahawks are on the docket. What are you excited for in this game? Because There's a couple of players in the NFC West in general, or actually in the West in general, that have been kind of disappointing. And one of those is number 18 for the Cardinals. Call him Junior, because I don't like saying that other man's name. That's one of those things that I'm actually interested to actually get my eyes on, is what the hell is actually happening with MHJ?
There are a lot of players. Obviously, you can talk about some of the players that are underachieving on both squads right here in this game. And I think part of that is I was – kind of kidding around about the scouting because it's down the road a little bit. But we're in that mode right now where if things don't go well for the Texans, you know, all these games all of a sudden get really, really interesting. So, yeah, very interested. But I think a lot of players on both teams are going to have a lot to prove tonight.
Yeah. Who are some of the ones that you're looking at and thinking about? I mean, obviously the Sam Darnold is experience up there is interesting. I just want to get my eyes on, because, again, like these island games end up being – great opportunities to get your eyes on teams that maybe you haven't had an opportunity to this early in the season in a real way. That Seahawks team, you say that, but I genuinely want to see what Mike McDonald has done there in another year. I believe this is year two, as time seems mm-hmm. to run pretty quickly with what he's doing up there.
Yeah, for sure that. And Kyler Murray is always the one that's interesting to watch. So, you know, local guy, kind of, you know, from Texas. So, It's going to be, look, it's going to be really, really fun just to watch two teams play football on a Thursday night. But beyond that, some of the individuals, you know, are clearly in a place where both these teams have a lot to prove tonight. They really do.
Without question. Yeah. I think they both kind of exist in that place mm-hmm. in the NFL.
Are they good? Are they not good?
Right. Yeah. And I think the Cardinals probably a little lower on the are they good. I imagine that it probably helps if you look at the line as the road team. The Seahawks have a point and a half, or they're laying a point and a half mm-hmm. in this one. So I think that probably points to the Seahawks being the better in this one. But we'll see. Ultimately, all I ask for, give me a good football game, because that's the thing that will upset us all the most on a Friday or Thursday night, is just giving us bad football if that happens. Mm-hmm. So yeah, looking forward to watching that. Also, to some degree, looking forward to this. Drama sells in any facet, and in the NFL even more so. There's going to be a dramatic one here in week 4. It is a bitter lovers have to then return to each other. Micah Parsons with the Green Bay Packers facing off against the Dallas Cowboys in Arlington. Still has his suite because there is no refunds. And apparently there's going to be a lot of love lost here, or maybe no love lost. I don't remember which way that goes, because Jerry Jones has made it clear that there will be absolutely no tribute video for Micah Parsons.
Is this a foul. Is this a bigger story? Are they making this into a bigger story than it is?
Is he Jerry Jones?
I think Jerry Jones is.
Yeah. I guess so, because then Micah had to be asked about it, and he was like, he almost seems surprised, like, what? Was there even going to be one?
Actually, this is Micah Parsons' response, because obviously you know what it is, the media tag where one person says something. Yeah. In fact, we'll get to that a little later. One person says something, and then someone else has to answer to it.
Yeah.
This is Micah Parsons' answer to to finding out that there will be no video tribute to you.
No, you know, there's a lot of things I can consider disrespectful mm-hmm. throughout this process, but I want to say the tribute is one of them. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, I just think, you know, there's hard feelings maybe there for them. But, mm-hmm. you know, for me, I'm happy where I'm at. And we got a really good football team. So I guess I can live you my tribute and a win, I hope.
How long was he even in Dallas?
Was it four seasons? I believe it was four seasons.
Yeah, four seasons. I'm looking at it now. Would you even expect a tribute, a video tribute? On a bad team?
I feel like...
Well, they weren't always a bad team with him on there.
Yeah. To me, I feel like, like his position, I felt like he probably would have got one if it didn't end messy. Mm-hmm. But it's not surprising that they didn't give him one.
Lopez, what are we talking about? Like defense rookie of the year, four-time Pro Bowler, two-time All-Pro.
I get it. Four seasons, I don't even know if I would
expect. He could have had those things over 8 or 9 seasons, and they'd look at him as a legend.
But it would have been 8 or 9 seasons. You know, he would have been there for a longer time. That's what I'm saying, like 4 years.
I feel like the video tributes are so minor. We kind of blow it up as a big deal, but I feel like anybody could get a video tribute at this point.
Passing them out like Skittles.
Yeah, so, of course.
And that's kind of why it's wild.
It's Micah Parsons.
It's very indicative of the hurt feelings that if you're passing them out like Skittles, if that guy doesn't get it, I was like, all right, Jerry, I see what you're on.
Yeah.
I see exactly what time it is.
I personally was just like, I wouldn't have even expected anything.
Yeah.
And really, maybe that's the case. If they didn't do it, it'd been like, all right. The fact that it was announced, Jerry was asked about it. I'm sure that that's kind of how one of those things goes. Mm-hmm. But the fact that that was like, no, we're not doing this.
Yeah,
this is not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And look, maybe I'm wrong. Someone's like, why would they do that for 4 years? Because for 4 years, he was one of, if not the absolute best player on your team. That's probably one of those things that you want.
I'm with the texter on this. I would have been like, it was a good 4 years. He was awesome, but 4 years, we know there were some disappointments.
I'm trying to think, like, what if this situation, and I hope this ain't going to happen, but what if it was a situation where Will Anderson Jr. ended up moving on after 4 years?
That's a good point.
I think
it really depends how it ends.
Would he expect one? I don't think so.
Yeah,
it
wouldn't surprise me if they did give him one, though. Mm-hmm.
Well,
but I don't think it's the end of the world if he don't get one.
No, but I think here is where it circles back into mattering to some degree. This is this I think filters into like how you treat your players and how you view your players.
Yeah,
and when it comes to free agency, which I guess maybe you say the Cowboys have basically punted on anyways, I think that's something that hurts your image around the league. And of course, it's not that in and of itself, but it's indicative of a mindset and the way that you treat your guys that I imagine people look up and they go, I don't know if I want to like willingly go for that, all things being equal.
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons why players would not want to go to the Cowboys, but the way the Cowboys treat their players is not one. The Cowboys treat their players fantastic.
When you're in.
Yeah.
Do you think this could have something to do with the fans too?
I think a lot of it.
Because
you set yourself up for booze.
Yeah. Will it be a bad look if they play this tribute and they just sitting there booing? Yeah,
you know, it's a bad look not signing up your best player and sending him to another team for draft picks that you can maybe use to get a best player. Yeah. So like, again, you're in a bad look.
That could be a reason to boo too. Yeah. So maybe
already in a let's bad not look.
Even you wouldn't know who they're booing.
Yeah. So maybe let's not even acknowledge Micah Parsons in that way.
I agree.
By the way, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, some other things around the NFL, and this actually comes close to home. Well, we'll start in Nashville, and then we'll return back home because, obviously, Texans, Titans, battle of the defeateds, 0-3 on both sides of this. Somebody got to leave NRG with a win.
Do they?
And are you calling your shot on overtime?
On overtime tie? No, I am not.
Please don't. Please don't do that to me.
No, I am not.
My heart doesn't deserve that.
Can you imagine?
And look, if you end up with a tie, I got real questions because you got bulletin board material, baby.
Yeah, you do.
It's none worse than the tie, man, because you leave that stadium not knowing how to feel.
A tie would feel like a loss here. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like it would be a loss. Like, you need a win. There are no other things. This is a very soccer response. You need a result.
Yeah.
Right? You need all 3 points.
You need points.
Whether it's, or, you know what I mean, whether that's soccer or hockey, the way you view it, you need the points here. And you got bulletin board material for one of your best offensive players because L'Jarius Sneed, defensive back for the Titans, was asked about Nico Collins and how it will be having to deal with Nico Collins on Sunday.
Nico Collins this week.
Who?
Nico.
Thank you.
He said who twice.
He said who.
Who? What about Nico Collins? Who? Who? And Nico Collins responded with like a legitimate laugh.
Yeah,
a lot of times you get you get that question as you were just talking about. They ask it, or someone says something, you have to ask about it. Sometimes they go, ha ha ha. No, he was like legit.
This is Nico Collins' first response to the L'Jarius Sneed.
Thoughts on going against Sneed on the other side?
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. Can't wait for the matchup. Can't wait to get back on the field with the guys and play again. You know, that's the most important thing I'm most excited about, getting back at that with my teammates and my brothers. Going there, rocking out, getting our swag back.
He was asked about you and he said who a couple times today.
Okay. Yeah, he knows who I am. Yeah.
Do they have any history together? Like, are they cool? And they just he kind of joking around.
I can't even remember off the top of my head. I imagine that this is just like
because that's
division
stuff. It's kind of random too.
It is.
Yeah, and the thing that I got to was just like, who is this for?
What?
Why did you?
That's
do
what I
wonder.
Because that's like me being out and about, and somebody mentioned, "Hey, how does it feel working with Reggie?" I say, "Who? Who is, I don't know who Reggie is." I wonder if it's like that or is it serious.
I want to call it beef. There has to have been at least something said or exchanged on the field.
Yeah, joking behind the scenes or something.
Or not joking.
Yeah, like, or is it serious?
There has to be. And don't you have to be a certain level of player to say who?
I mean, L'Jarius Sneed.
He's all right.
He's a pretty damn good player. The thing about it is, I talk about level of player. How about level of team?
Yeah,
I don't think I don't think either of these teams are really in a place where you start sending jabs or sending shots. It's not really like, and of course, there's the division rivalry portion of it. Obviously, that team came from here originally. That's that part of it. Me personally, and I'm not everybody, and everybody is not me, clearly. I'd be keeping my mouth relatively shut on that portion of it. We're not talking too much trash. We'll get out there and do it, which is what obviously Nico Collins was alluding to. By the way, this is a little bit more of what the Nico Collins response was.
If somebody doesn't know you, what should they know about you after Sunday?
Could they know? Nah, my bad. I'm a dog. You know what I'm saying? I'm just me. I don't say much. I just play. You know what I'm saying? You can talk all you want. I'm not hearing it. You know, just line that up.
Okay, well,
yes, sir.
You better apologize twice.
I do love that. Like, he ended up in that place. Salute to Landry Locker for that audio. The first one, obviously, Aaron Wilson on the second one. But the idea that he's in that space and he's kind of got that fire going, I kind of like that from Nico. Because it feels like this the start to the season. Last week was his first 100-yard game. And he's not that type of guy that's going to be, you know, that's going to draw. But I kind of like the idea of, hey, light a fire under him. Because there's people that are looking at him like he's a good but not great wide receiver. And we were getting to a place where, like, no, you need to respect him. Mm-hmm. I think that this could be a catalyst, even though I don't think that this is going to be the ultimate motivation. But this could be a catalyst to at least get some of that hope.
Well, not only do I like it, I want to see more of it. I think this is one of those things that Nico can really take a step up in. We know how good he is already. But it was just last week when we were asking D'Amico Ryans about leadership on the offensive side, and he said, me. Nico Collins is one of those players that can become that and maybe show a little bit more of, you know, that pushback or the leadership.
And if for no other reason, not that we already went through this like last week, right? The idea of you need to get Nico the ball. Sometimes when you get like bulletin board material, it almost feels like when the team will then rally around, oh, mm-hmm. we need to make sure that you win this matchup. And that's not a bad one to lean into, right? Like making sure that we get the ball to Nico Collins, like another instance and reason for you to make sure that he gets the football and hopefully leads to a victory against the Tennessee Titans. Well, there you go. That's a little bit of around the NFL here. I'll save that, kind of the players with the slow starts. We'll talk about that maybe tomorrow when we go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Gearing up for a big game that's going to face off, where you face off against the Tennessee Titans at NRG Stadium. In fact, we'll talk to somebody from Nashville, Ron Slay. He hosts out there at 1 to go behind enemy lines, get a better feel of the foes coming in, L'Jarius Sneed and the Tennessee Titans to NRG Stadium. All right, coming up next, let's get on the phone with another gentleman, one that we know very well. On a Thursday, we give him a call. He is ND Kalu, and we'll talk to him next on Sports Radio 610.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, gearing up for Texans-Titans on Sunday. And as we move towards that, and as it's a Thursday, we always get a chance to get this gentleman on the phone. He's my Nigerian-American brethren. Former defensive lineman for the Texans and elsewhere in the NFL, and one of the best people that I enjoy speaking to every day. I think he's top three, just ahead of John Lopez. His name is ND Kalu. What's happening, brother?
What's going on? You know what? I feel good. My head is growing with that introduction.
Man, he said it, ahead of John Lopez.
Yeah, that's right. Figgies 2-1. Andy's 2.
Dang. I think we need to start there.
obviously, Andy.
Hold on. You didn't say who's number one. Is it Strawberry from Onyx? Who's number one?
I'm gonna say it's the big boss lady because she's the one who pays me. That's how that works.
Well, that makes me feel better.
Make sure that money
smart
is
man.
Yeah,
he's
just
right.
A kiss ass. That's it.
Smart.
All right. So clearly, I want to get this out of the way so that we can talk a little bit football. But the CJ Gardner-Johnson of everything. I mean, it came out of nowhere. I'm interested for you. Like, have you been in a circumstance where? And of course, we don't even know what fully has happened in the locker room, but. Can you take us into like what that feeling is and how you're trying to navigate when you have a player that might be kind of going into business for themselves frequently, especially with defense, which is such a team construct, even more so than offense?
Oh, I like how you said going into it for themselves. As a defender, I've played with guys, that did that where they said, you know what, screw the play. I'm trying to get my sacks. I'm trying to get my bonus. And, you know, you kind of keep your mouth shut and you cover for them until it becomes a problem to where you're looking bad. So, like, with defensive backs, you sometimes have the nearest defensive back to the receiver looks like he's the one who blew the coverage when in reality he was just trying to cover for somebody else. When that happens too often, you best believe that there's conversations in the locker room like, hey, man, get your man because I'm not going to be sitting here looking bad in front of everybody because I'm trying to cover for you. Where I played in the trenches, Reggie, it was you can hide it a little more. But anybody that's played in the league for over 3 years, you've definitely played with a guy who was definitely out for his, and that's all he wanted.
You know, the interesting thing to it about it to me, Andy, and you've been in this seat. I mean, you've played the game where you analyze and people say something and you try to postulate on what's what. I just found it interesting. You know, D'Amico did my decision. We're moving on, which was expected. But C.J. Stroud and Kalen Bullock were asked about it, and they both kind of intimated, yeah, we didn't feel that. We didn't feel like, and I'm paraphrasing, but said, you know, we didn't feel like it was a bad, you know, he was a bad teammate or anything. Do you think that's just covering for him? But because that was pretty specific.
Yeah, I don't know exactly because I didn't hear it. And, you know, for whatever reason, I didn't hear those two quotes. But very rarely are players going to publicly talk down on somebody, especially after he's been cut. So my thought is, when that happens, even if a player who's being interviewed who's still on the team, even if they believe, like, man, this guy had to go. Like, mm-hmm. this guy was a cancer in the locker room. He was – the defense was breaking down because of him. And I'm not saying this is the case, but I'm saying if that is the case, they're not going to say it publicly. Like, there's still – you know, there's still a code. There's still a code where you don't air your dirty laundry out there because, one, you're hurting the guy – potentially getting a job for somebody else. And two, you just don't want that to happen to you. So even if he was, I mean, I've played with some guys and I've been in a situation where guys were cut. They should have been cut. They went against the grain. They didn't fit in. But once that microphone was put in front of you, you know, you said all the quote unquote right things.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Andy Kalu here in Loop. And Andy, now, I was actually talking about this with John because it seems like, you know, a lot of the reports that we've gotten, obviously talking about the big blown plays that were given up in part because C.J. Gardner-Johnson reportedly was not where he was supposed to be. And I was like, that kind of felt to me like when you're driving the car, maybe back in the day, because I wonder how much this still exists, and you're like, I smell something. There's something wrong with the car and you can't place it. And then you look down and you see, oh, I've been driving with the parking brake on, and now I know what's been causing that. Have you had that feeling with this defense? Now going forward, do you feel like now that we've possibly identified what the kind of oddness is with this defense, that everything's going to be back to good, or is there still maybe some little small concerns with certain things?
Here's the thing, when I think about the defense, and I'm not just, you know, saying this because I like the guys and I want to see them do well. I don't think defense is a problem. Like, there's no perfect defensive game. Like, a perfect defensive game is 0 yards rushing, 0 yards receiving, 0 touchdowns. And my point in saying that is, yeah, you know, you had some breakdowns in the fourth quarter. You had some plays that you wish you could get back as a defense. But overall, if any other team's defense was playing like this, they would be 2-1 or 3-0. You know, I still think that this defense overall is playing well. And there isn't even anything I could point to with the guy that just got released, C.J. Gardner, to say, well, you know what, if he makes that play, if he plays better, then we win the game. It's like, I don't know. If we're scoring 9 points, 10 points, 19 points, I don't know if C.J. Gardner's, play is the reason why the team is losing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.
Yeah, all right. So that's perfect then, because I was going to ask you just, in a general, broad sense, analyze the Texans' offense. We're 3 weeks in. What are you seeing?
It's what I'm not seeing. I'm not seeing enough, scoring, obviously. Not seeing enough big plays. I'm not going to sit up here and say the guard in play number 3 in the third quarter, he missed his block. I don't know, but that's happening across the board when you're not able to rush, when you're not a threat running the ball, when you're not a threat passing the ball or even protecting your quarterback. This entire offense has to improve. When I look at what you've done against other teams and what other teams did against that team that you play, like, for instance, the Bucks who are 3-0, they held the Texans to 19 points, even with their other two victories, the teams that they played scored more than what the Texans did. And we're talking about the Jets. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. the Jets scored 27 on the Bucs in a losing effort, and they hold the Texans to under 20 points. When you look at who was the other team? There's a – God dog it. I just looked at it. Mm-hmm. It came across my phone. But there was another team that beat the Texans.
Was it Atlanta?
But – No, they haven't. No, I'm saying one of the Texans.
Oh, the top talking about the Bucs.
Was it the Jags or the Rams?
Yeah. So whoever they lost to, the team that beat them, they also beat the Carolina Panthers, and they held the Carolina Panthers to 10 points, and they held the Texans to 10 points. And mm-hmm. I'm like, is that the company you want to be in when you talk about the offense? So I can't really break down the specifics, but one thing that they always coached up and they always preached, even when I was in Philadelphia when we were winning those conference championships, on the offense, Andy Reid always talked about big plays. Like, we need to have five explosive plays over 20 yards or more, and we're just not seeing that from the Houston Texans, which is a shame because you have a guy like Nico Collins. Mm-hmm. And I also feel like, and I'm guilty of this, we get so caught up in the preseason about the excitement of the new toys, the young rookie wide receivers, and, you know, we're expecting them to have these huge seasons. They're still rookies. Like, they're still rookies, and you have to count on the guys that are proven. The Christian Kirks of the world, he was injured for the first 2 weeks. The Nico Collins, who, if you target him, he's going to show up. I just want to see John Moore explosive plays from this offense.
Mm-hmm. And D, were you surprised to only see 15 design runs, 19 rushes total from this Texans team last week in Jacksonville?
Yes. I mean, but what does that say? That means your offensive line is not getting it done. It's, you know, when you talk about a team that's struggling throwing the ball, a team that's struggling protecting the quarterback when he drops back, then you say, okay, let's just run it. So if you're not able to run that ball 20, 30 times a game, it's not just because of the running back. And I've always felt like a good running back could look great behind an offensive line that's getting it done, and an average running back can look good. But if you're only rushing 15 – what did you say, 15 designed runs?
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was that low. I remember watching the game and thinking, like, man, they're not running enough. But I didn't know it was – are you 15? Hold on. Let's step back.
Yep.
15 design runs,
19 total rushes, obviously, when you add CJ scrambles.
Wow. Yeah. That's less than four a quarter. So I'm sure a lot of that has to play into them not having the ball. I would love to see the time they have the ball, because that is slow.
Yeah. Well, what does that do for a defensive line when you have a team that's not running the football against you?
Well, one, you're getting back on the field a whole lot faster, so that doesn't help, because when you have those incompletions, the clock stops, the three and outs, that means you're getting back on the field faster. And when you talk about running the ball, for an offensive lineman, it is equivalent to playing defense in basketball. It's more attitude and heart than it is skill. And that's where you go to when things aren't working. You say, you know what, for whatever reason, my offensive linemen, they're not getting their pass blocks down. They're not getting their steps down. But I know I got five dogs up front, so we're just going to run the ball. We're just going to push that line of scrimmage. We're going to pick up 4 yards a pop. And until they get their pass blocking down, we're just going to maul these guys. And you're not doing either. So, John, you asked me, and I wish I could have given you like a specific breakdown. Hey, mm-hmm. this is what's wrong with the offense. But it's everything. Yeah. Like, the answer is everything. But I'm still confident. And you have to figure out a way to get it done with the horses you got, because in week 4, you're not going to make any huge trades and you're not going to sign any big names that's going to help this offense. So you got to figure it out internally.
Well, you said it's everything. And I want to kind of ask you about, a repercussion of that. Are you worried, or should anybody be worried about losing CJ Stroud confidence wise, mentally, et cetera? Cause it's a pretty long stretch now where he's shown some frustration. I think he had a sit down with D'Amico Ryans this week. Is that something where you would be worried?
The reason why I'm not worried, John, is I remember talking to him as a rookie, like in the preseason before we called his first preseason game. And I remember thinking, like, man, this dude is mature. Mm-hmm. He's wise. I like his outlook. And it's all good when things are going great. Everyone is saying the right things, and you can be impressed with someone's leadership qualities. But for him and Will Anderson to be voted captains as rookies, like, to me, that means you're a great leader. And this is when you show that leadership. This is when you show what type of mental toughness you have, what type of leader you have when things are down. It's easy to say all the right things, you know, when you're 2-1, when you're 3-0, and everybody's patting you on the back. The honeymoon phase is over for CJ Stroud. I'm hearing that when I listen to y'all's show and, you know, when people call in and what I see on social media. But I do feel like he's mature enough and he has what it takes to get through this storm. And there isn't any better coach, in my opinion. I'm a little bit biased. If you told me, hey, we're going to start a season 0-3, expectations are not going to be met, who's the one guy you want to lead them out of that storm? DeMeco's name will come up. So I'm still confident that the end story is going to be great. Now, in 12 weeks, y'all could be like, man, this dumbass had no idea what he was talking about. But when I think of DeMeco talking to those guys, getting them ready, I'm not concerned. I just think, you know, it's a – you still have, what, 14 more games, including this game coming up. There's still time to turn this thing around. Now, here's the thing. I hate to be – must-win guy this week in the this early in the
season. Please don't.
But I hate to be must-win guy, but if our goal is to get to the playoffs, you know, once the playoffs start, you start from scratch, and we know that there's not going to be a wild card coming out of AFC South. You have to win this game. Have to win this divisional game against the Titans.
There you go. Must-win, John Lopez.
Hey, well, one more thing. Did DeMeco let the Jaguars score? Late in
I thought so. Like, I didn't even – to me, it was obvious. Yeah. Like, and as I was watching the game, I was thinking, okay, they got to hurry up and score here so they get the ball back. So I know no coach will ever admit it, but as I was watching the game, I didn't even think it was a controversial thought. I was just like, okay, they let him score so they could get the ball back.
Mm. All I heard from you, Andy, is that the answer is yes if you were asking the question of can DeMeco and this Texans team stand the rain?
Yeah.
That's all I heard.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I forgot who sang that song, Can You Stand the Rain?
But yes, New Edition. I just wanted to get that. This is me teeing up the opportunity to say that we will get you that CD.
Wow. How did I? You know, that's why I forgot it, because that heifer stole my New
Edition. Don't worry. We've located it. We're putting in the bid to get it in.
We found the heifer.
Wow. Okay. I don't think we did that. But we will get you that CD, Andy. We always appreciate you giving us some time. Have a good week, and hopefully we get a Texans win this weekend.
All right, y'all keep up the good work. Appreciate it.
There it is. Andy Kalu joining us here in Loop on Sports Radio 6. He says that with reckless abandon, and I love it every time. All right, you're in the Loop. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including we got some more news, and this is part of the reason why my Astros meter is pretty down. We'll talk about that more next. All right, let's get into what's popping here in the Loop on this Thursday. First of all, foremost, it is a Thirsty Thursday. So the fellas of the drive will be out on location, and if you are in or around Spring, it is your lucky day. The Buffalo Wild Wings in Spring, and I believe it's the one off of Grand Parkway. I'll get you an address here in a moment. I just realized that I moved away from that where it was in front of me. However, that is where the fellas will be 2-6. Not quite close. 6825 Grand Parkway in Spring is where the fellas will be. Go out. Hang out. You know, they never come empty-handed, so there'll be giveaways. There'll be, you know, opportunities to win. So go out, see the fellas. Enjoy Sports Radio 610 live and in person as you always can on a Thursday or a Friday. In this instance, a Thursday. Also, don't forget, we'll be giving away a 4-pack of tickets to see the University of Houston Cougars take on Texas Tech in the next hour. So keep it locked here. That was the good. Let's get to some of the bad, and then we'll get to the ugly. Because the Astros fall again yesterday, and it was with Hunter Brown on the mound for you and Luis Severino on the mound for the Athletics, which should have been a giant plus-plus, like 3 stars in the advantage of the Astros. And ultimately, the final score was 6-0 Mariners. It looked sloppy. Couldn't do anything at the plate.
A's.
Or A's, right. Sorry, I'm thinking about the Mariners because that's where I'll go next. But thank you. It was the A's, obviously, that got the victory there. Sloppy for you. I mean, obviously, couldn't do anything at the plate. It just felt like it went out with a whimper.
You mentioned earlier Jesus Sanchez and some of the ugliness out there, you know, with him in the outfield, but it wasn't just that.
Ramon Urias playing third.
Exactly.
That's a little weird. How did you enjoy the return of Carlos Correa to short?
Well, I mean, it was fine. Well,
enjoy is probably the wrong word.
It was fine.
What was your experience of going through that? Like, also, just how did you feel when you saw the lineup that, oh, wow, he's going to be positioned in shortstop. You're going to get that old school middle infield back for the Astros.
No, obviously you have confidence when he's out there. The thing we've been talking about, and I think it's undeniable, is this team has just checked out. Top to bottom, offensively, you mentioned Severino, who had the worst ERA in baseball among qualified starters.
He helped himself.
And he did help himself. He got the shutout. Well, he combined for the shutout. And with Hunter Brown on the mound, the good news is you have Fromber going today. Is that good news?
I don't know. I have no idea. It's day baseball. 2:35 is when first pitch is. As the Astros will try and get out of Sacramento, but they are in a rough position because of a few things that happened. Actually, one of them isn't that rough because the Guardians are doing the thing. They remain hot. They got a victory over the Tigers. So the reason why that's important, it feels like the Mariners. Mm-hmm. The Guardians get a bigger lead in the AL Central, and the Tigers remain just a game ahead of you in wild card contention. So again, if you get a win, you possibly have an opportunity of drawing yourself closer to that wild card contention. But over the four final games of the season, you're going to have to best the Tigers by two games because they have the tiebreak.
That's the thing that is ultimately going to probably end this thing, put the Astros out of their misery and us fans as well, because you either have to win 3 out of 4 and the Tigers have to lose 3 out of 4, which, I mean, I don't know what your confidence level is on that, or you have to basically be 2 games better than them.
Correct.
In the next 4 games. That's a huge ask based on what we've been seeing.
Well, at least offensively for the Astros, the Tigers have been on a mammoth of a slide themselves. So maybe they'll help you out on their side of things. But yeah, this has been rough for the Astros. You got to start before you look at anybody else by getting the bats to do something, anything, if you want to, grasp a little bit of life out of this season. And of course, it has to now officially be the wild card because the Mariners get a 9-2 victory over the Rockies, and they do so in fantastic fashion. Just big bats. Cal Raleigh ends up with his 60th, count him, 60 home runs of the season.
59 and 60.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. He is, people are talking about him as legitimate AL MVP, possibly, Aaron Judge.
I think he probably will be MVP. It's going to be a very close vote. When you look at Aaron Judge's numbers, and especially like OPS and stuff, it's like mind-blowing how awesome he's been. But that said,
you're gaining fans in the city of Houston by saying that out loud.
No, I don't want to say it out loud, but I mean, it's true. It's absolutely true. His numbers are just like
big. What? I hadn't looked at this in a little while.
Look at his OPS.
OPS is 1.136.
That's a joke. It's how good
he's batting .328.
That's like Babe Ruth. He may damn well win the batting title.
You know what my favorite thing is? OPS plus, because it normalizes to where 100 is average. Mm-hmm. You want to guess what his OPS plus is?
I hadn't
is?
Looked at that lately.
It starts with the 2. 213. God, I hate him so much.
I know.
Don't worry about it. Here in about a week, he'll start snaking again. But
so you would think, okay, checkbox, not a no-brainer. He's going to be the MVP. I think Cal Raleigh's going to win the MVP.
The story is big as a catcher. People are calling it possibly the greatest season that we've seen from a catcher in a very long time. Obviously, defense is solid, and then, he's just swinging that bat real strong. Yeah, I'm with you, 832. Drug test both of them, not before I can't plant some evidence on them first. Like, I just want to see both of them go down in that way. But, yeah, that's the ugly of it for the Astros, is that you've seen the Mariners finally pull off that thing that people were saying was going to happen for the last like handful of years. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, the Mariners are finally going to do it and win the AL West. And we were like, we don't trust y'all.
Well, the Mariners,
they did it.
The Mariners are an example of what the Astros did not do. They went out in the offseason and tried to bolster their lineup. Then they went at the trade deadline and bolstered their lineup.
That is the part that's huge.
And then they obviously seem to be the hungrier team. I'm not saying they are the hungrier team. And their starting pitching is absolute nails, dang near top to bottom.
Yeah. So that's where the Astros stand, as I mentioned, day baseball for them. With the Rockets, just a little bit of confirmation. We kind of knew after Fred VanVleet had his ACL tear, we were looking around, probably don't have a lot of moves that you can make. It seems like you would lean on a couple of players. Well, Zach Lowe, who works for the Ringer, one of the best in the business when it comes to talking basketball and being tapped in, This is what he says the Rockets are going to do from his vantage point and from what he has been able to surmise.
From what I've heard, the Rockets are going to do nothing. And they're going to do nothing for a couple of reasons. Number one, they can't really do anything until December 15th when all the free agents in the, that signed in the summer can be traded, including like half of their roster. And they're not going to do anything because they're going to give the ball to Amen Thompson and Reed Sheppard. They might even start Reed Sheppard, I don't know, and just see what they have in those guys.
It just totally makes sense, and then it doesn't, right?
What's the doesn't make sense part of it?
Because I don't know if you can just roll the dice on both those guys. You
I
know?
Think you have to. The circumstances.
No, sorry, it makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like,
Oh, like on the idea of it going to going well or going perfectly. Yeah, no, that's a tough part of it. I think it makes sense. You see what you have at first, and then you make adjustments. That's kind of been the way that Rafael Stone has played this, right? Mm-hmm. You see what you have last year, and you end up going, oh, this is a second in the West type roster, and then you make adjustments to seeing, hey, Jalen Green, not good enough. Let's add in something like a Kevin Durant to give us an additional option.
Yeah.
You just now you're dealing with a different type of challenge here. Yeah, I'm eager to see what it looks like. I would be lying if I told you that I was just all hunky dory that this is all going to work out well.
Right. That's the yes and no of it.
But it'll be very intriguing to see preseason games even of what this looks like before we get to October 21st. When the Rockets start their season. I was talking about all this Astros stuff, and I left out one of the biggest news dumps that we got yesterday, which is that Luis Garcia, one of the many pitchers that have dealt with injuries for this Astros team, is set to undergo surgery and miss the entirety of the 2026 season. Only two starts this season after coming back from Tommy John.
One of the saddest stories that we've had in Astros lore, and there have been a lot of sad stories, and also one of the most alarming. If this doesn't ring bells and shoot fireworks outside of Jim Crane's office. What is 2 years of rehab? Comes back for two starts and all of a sudden surgery again. It's really mortifying that the Astros have let this happen with their bleeped up medical and athletic training staffs. In fact, Dana Brown went on the flagship and said, quote, "We will take a complete look at the staff from a baseball operations perspective," talking about the medical and athletic staff. What does Figgy say? Word?
Yeah, a word. Yeah, that's what it has to be. That's what it needs to be.
Well, about time.
Right.
Yeah.
In fact, needed to be.
They are the worst in baseball.
And it is worth noting, right? As much as we're saying that, somebody goes, is it Tommy John surgery again? Beats me.
Oh, stay tuned for confessions.
MLB.com says Espada wouldn't say the exact nature of the surgery. Mm-hmm. So we don't know as of right now, and we'll see if we find out what the extent or what the nature of the surgery is. But all we know, surgery and the kiss the 26 season goodbye for Luis Garcia.
He's getting his appendix out.
What if it was something like that?
He's got his appendix.
Wild. Earlier we were asking in the question of the day, you know, what would be the resounding memory for you from this Astros run? Should this be the end of it? And there was a lot of interesting answers that came in, and I wanted to circle back to some of them because people were talking about, like, obviously during the wins and stuff, but there's also all sorts of little quirky things in the middle. Like, you remember the time the Jose Altuve got out here showing feet at the plate?
Look, that's a good way to get thrown out of the game. Or Mike Fiers. That was another one that came through.
No, absolutely is one of those ones that came in when we were talking about that. Somebody said that they remember old buddy's interview during the 22 or after the 22 World Series, the infamous F y'all.
Oh, yeah. How about the Correa? I meant to mention that earlier. That's another very strong memory. And I think it feeds into everybody was very defensive and saying, oh, everybody cheats and you're just picking on us. And it's the Major League Baseball that wants to, you know, has it in for the Astros and look at Boston. Like, as soon as Correa said, who was it? Who did he talk to? It was a one-on-one at spring training. He goes, if you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. if you don't know the facts, you need to shut the bleep. He's talking to Cody Bellinger.
The reporter.
Was it Ken Rosenthal?
It might have been Rosenthal. But from that moment, It was like Houston against the world.
Ray on the YouTube, the "We Want Houston" chants going wrong for everybody.
Yes,
every time. Oh, you want it?
That's a good one.
With New York, I think. Oh, Philly, yeah. Did Philly do it?
Mm-hmm. Every single time that you saw New York.
Yeah. How about Pouty Face?
Joe Kelly.
Joe Kelly, Pouty Face.
Another good one I like from Correa is remember that time Framber many times where he was kind of struggling on the mound, and Correa went up, right to, up him, to him, and he was just, you could just hear him. He might have been talking in English at that point. He was sitting there just kind of, you could just see his lips moving real strong. And then, not Correa, but Framber got out of that inning.
Yeah.
He just went up to him like, watch out. He was pointing, kind of hitting his chest a little bit.
He was telling what it's all about.
I love that clip.
How about on the field after the World Series, Carlos Correa getting on one knee. Carlos Correa getting on one knee.
I need to find that clip.
And that became a legendary drop for One Figgy Fig.
A lot of mattress Mac promos, which obviously.
Hey, I got on a private jet with Mac to go collect $35 million in cash.
Yeah.
He ain't bring me none.
That was one of my all-time greatest memories. He's got the wheelbarrow. It was so much money in the wheelbarrow, the tire went flat.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
I always think about the matches Mac in Philly too.
Oh yeah, bleep you!
Yeah, he was on the concourse. No, bleep you! Bleep you! Bleep you! He was going nuts.
Yeah, I'll take any and all of those that you have for me on the text line 713-572-4610. Shout out to T Mill confirming it was indeed Ken Rosenthal that you were thinking of. But yeah, and then real quick before we go, I know I need to get out of here, but it is what's popping in a way. Did you see this picture of Reed Sheppard? With the guns out?
Yeah, he's looking like Zion Williamson.
He looked like he took all the... Zion was like, here the extra, and like Reed was like, can I just put this into my muscles?
Can I have some of that?
I don't know if that will actually mean that he could be better defensively. Hopefully he could withstand some of the bumps that you take playing defense. I, again, excited to see what Reed and this Rockets team is able to bring this season. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, C.J. Stroud talked, and he didn't just talk about C.J. Gardner-Johnson. We will leave that, but... how was he adapted to the new offense, and did you hear what you wanted from CJ yesterday? 713-572-4610. We talk about it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Seth Payne.
And I'm Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
That's awesome. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or if you're a jump straight to the highlight person, we got you covered as well.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, my name first, obviously.
Hey!
And hit the follow button to get every minute of the show, your way and on your time.
It's the Payne and Pendergast Podcast. New episodes drop daily.